Today's message is titled, God Forbid That We Should Boast Except. We'll talk about that exception. Galatians 6, 11 through 18. So boasting. We can all boast about different things in life. So I was thinking about an example of boasting that seems a little silly or out of place. And the one that came to mind was sports fans. So, you know, have you ever seen those? And now, I'm a sports fan. So I'm not trying to hurt any feelings of sports fans here, but there are sports fans who take things too far. I think we've seen those clips of people in like their kids' little league games, like brawling it out in front of their kids. Would we all agree they took that too far? Okay. Or the people who get in fights in the stands because the other team and them, they're in disagreement. So I just want to make sure you understand. I'm not saying because you like a certain team, you're in this category. I'm talking about those people who take it a little too serious. When sports fans, you know, they individually boast because of what their team has done. Like they're something special. Like they scored the touchdown. Right? And they're kind of conceited about it. Whether they, you know, whatever they did on the field or the court. And when they do that, when they act that way, like in your face, look at what, well, not me, look at what my team did. It seems a little out of place, a little odd. Some people will boast, they'll even get, like I said, get in quarrels and fights because the team they support. I mean, here in Michigan, we've got this with, you know, these college teams. And I actually root for the underdog team. That's how I actually ended up becoming a MSU fan was because of the underdog team. But most fans are good and cordial and they root for each other when they're not playing each other. But then there's sometimes college teams a little south of us. And there's certain college, not MSU fans, but there's another fan base here that there's some animosity there. But these people, they're not on those teams. And if it's a college team, most of the time, they didn't even go to that school. But man, they are willing to throw down, not the way people cook around here, but, you know, throw down, fight, just because of these different things. And it's usually things they're saying to each other. You know, they're talking all this stuff to one another. And to those of us who don't get that passionate, it looks ridiculous. I mean, I've seen those clips of people fighting and their kids are standing on the sideline. They might even be best friends on other teams and they're watching their dads pummel each other. And aren't you just embarrassed for them and their families? Well, I thought that was a good example of what we can do when we boast on what God has done in our lives. Because God is the one who gets all the glory. So that's why I went with that example. I think a lot of us can relate. And sometimes I've taken my sports fandom a little too far. Back in the past, and the Lord hold of me and said, man, you're almost more willing to fight for this stuff than you are for me. And that's a very convicting moment. So in case anyone's feeling that way, I've been there. I've been there with you. So we have to be careful not to individually boast about things our Lord has done. We want to be heavily invested in him like these people are in their sports fandom, but we want to be invested in his kingdom, but we have to be careful to boast about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, which is what our verses are today, and we're going to talk about more. Jesus did the finished work. He did it all, and that is one of the most refreshing things about Galatians, because we're finishing up Galatians right now. This is kind of an exciting moment. We're finishing Galatians, but for me, it's a little sad because when I first was reading the Bible, I don't know about you, but other books of the Bible sometimes beat you up. I remember making me feel like, man, am I saved? Like, I am struggling. But Galatians was always this salve that was like, he did all the work. You're free in Christ. And I love that. Now, Galatians isn't saying go out and do whatever you want to do. It's all about encouraging you, just like the Holy Spirit does, to be your best for him. Because of what he did for you. But I always found Galatians, it was always that happy. You know, if there's moments in the Bible where you're reading it, there's the lows and the highs, and Galatians always seemed like one of those, like, I'm going to encourage you today. And there's other books that can be like, oh, admonishment. So it's a little sad. I think it's a little sad that we're getting to the end of Galatians. Okay, so before we do the verses for today, though, I want to talk about last message that I gave. Opportunities abound. It was Galatians 6 through 10, and we discussed how God has provided opportunities beforehand for us to do. He wants us to do the good works that he prepared for us, because remember, he's going to reward us at the Bema Seat. He wants to reward us at the Bema Seat. He's always encouraging us to let go of this world, and we're going to get into that more in the verses today, but let go of this world so we can invest in his heavenly kingdom, so when we're standing there, we don't suffer such great loss, that we invested all this time and energy in this world knowing it was corrupt. It was a corrupt system. It was all going to burn up anyway. We also talked about how he wants us to share in each other's burdens, which also are things that will last at the Bema Seat Judgment. When we share in each other's burdens, we help each other out. And we talked about how we don't help each other out with minimal effort. We help out like Christ helped us out. We don't kick them while they're down. When they're repentant and they're sorry, don't kick them while they're down. They've asked for forgiveness. They're sorry. We come alongside them. We talked about how we should share in all good things, especially with our faithful teachers. We are told to do good to all. And remember, all is all. Pas. It's all. There's no exceptions to all. That really clears up a lot of theological discussions that people have. All is all. All is all. Especially to those of the household of faith. Do good to all. Especially to those of the household of faith. We warn that the world's deception is like the enemy's own Ponzi scheme, trying to get us to buy into this corrupt, temporal, passing away world system, wasting our investments on that that's going to burn up instead of investing into the eternal, Bema Seat lasting treasures. Because God wants to reward us at that Bema Seat. We also talked about how close it seems we are to Christ's return. Little side note. I just read an article this week about Starlink. I don't know if you guys know about Starlink, but it's the satellite system. It's a low-altitude satellite system that's covering the Earth, and they say it now can cover the entire Earth. There's not one spot that it can't get you, so you can't get a link. There's good things for it, too, right? You can get internet. You can do streaming. But you can also be observed. I feel like that fits into how close we are. Because we know what the book of Revelation says about that control mechanism. So we talked about that, not to weigh us down, but to encourage us to go out and make the most of our opportunities while we still have time to do so. Go out and look for opportunities to share the good news, to make disciples, to do those good deeds that God prepared beforehand for us to do. Don't turn down that world. Do turn down that world's volume. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. We want to do that while there's still time. Okay, so with that, today's verses, Galatians 6, 11 through 18, if you please stand. See what large letters I have written to you and with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. For now From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of God. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to study your word, to finish up the book of Galatians as a church family. Lord, thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for this opportunity to celebrate our freedoms here on Memorial Day weekend. Lord, I lift up the weather and the whole situation and all the people who are undecided on what they're going to do this afternoon for our picnic, for our fellowship, Lord. Help us to be open to your leading and all these things. And Lord, we trust you, Lord. We know you know best what we need, even among what we want. Lord, we pray that you sort that all out, and we pray that you bless this time. Help me to just speak freely what you want me to say here in the message. Open hearts and minds to hear exactly what it is we need to hear. We pray the same for the Sunday school classes, and we also lift up the nursery and all those who are trying to keep us safe and healthy here in this body, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Okay, like I said, today we're going to finish up Galatians. A little exciting, a little sad, but like I told you, it's a very good, encouraging book. If you're ever feeling down and out, like you're not good enough, you should read it again because it helps remind you that Jesus did it all, and all to him we owe. We can't improve on ourselves for salvation. Jesus did it all. Okay, so today we're going to talk about Paul's handwriting. My handwriting is horrible. That's why I have to type everything out. Paul's handwriting, people compromising the truth for different reasons, and why we shouldn't individually boast of anything but the cross of Christ, which I already kind of covered. So verse 11, Paul's large handwriting, poor eyesight or for emphasis? Verse 11, see what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. So in Paul's letters, he usually had someone like a secretary, where as he was narrating, they're recording what he's saying. But there's several letters where at the end, he writes in his own hand. And in this letter in particular at the end, he talks about how large he's writing. So, he says, what large letters I have written you. So some speculate that Paul had poor eyesight, and that is why he used these large letters. And some others even take it further and speculate that maybe this was the thorn in his flesh that he mentions in 2 Corinthians 12:7. They think it was like a conjunctivitis, like a pink eye kind of thing back in the day that was hard to cure. So a little side note, I don't think we were meant to know what Paul's thorn was because we all have different thorns. And I think God wanted us to all be able to relate to Paul in those verses and how he describes it, because it's healthy for the body, it's healthy for us to share with one another our burdens and our thorns. And I think if he wanted us to know, he would clearly have told us what it was. But we don't know. We have people making assumptions. So if we knew exactly what it was, we could be inclined to think, well, nobody knows my thorn. My thorn's the only thorn like that thorn. You know, we can always do that, and the flesh is always there to make us feel that way. So I don't believe anyone knows for sure what the thorn in Paul's flesh was. If you disagree with that, come see me, and I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. I'll look into that. Okay, back to handwriting and Paul, and some critical thinking, which is a dying thing in this society. You know, college, you used to go to college, they inspired critical thinking. Now they want you to be a lemming. Do exactly what we tell you to do, and you'll be a good boy. You'll get a good job. Do what you're told. But if the large letters were because of Paul's eyesight, why didn't he mention it in his other letters when he wrote in his own hand? 1 Corinthians 16:21-24, Colossians 4:18, 2 Thessalonians 3:17. He said he wrote in his own hand in those verses, but he didn't say, look at the large letters I'm writing in. Why? Why wouldn't he say that if it was because of his eye situation? So basically, I don't think we have enough information, like the thorn in his flesh, to make that assumption. But if we consider what Paul was talking about before he wrote that in his large letters, he said, beware of false teachers in this letter. Beware of false teachers trying to bewitch you back into following the laws of Moses. Law of Moses, that's a big deal. Restoring our brothers and sisters who have had a lapse in judgment while they're normally pursuing righteousness. Remember, we're not talking about people who are just saying they're believers and living a life of sin. We're talking about people who messed up. They messed up. They had a mess up. And we're supposed to come alongside them. That's a big deal. That's what the church is supposed to do, right? Sharing in each other's burdens while doing our best to carry our own load. Again, big deal. These are all big things we're supposed to do as the body of Christ, especially with those of the household of faith, especially of the church family. So I think it's very likely that Paul was stirred up for the church to do these things, and he was emphasizing that we should do them. Much like when you're writing something today, and, well, depends on the generation. Some of you put all caps. Just let you know, that's not what young people like to see. They think you're yelling at them. So don't do all caps. You know, just don't do it. But anyway, better yet, highlighting it or using bold print to emphasize something, like pay attention to this, listen to this. I think that's more likely what Paul was doing. Again, if you disagree with me on that, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about it. Okay. So I wanted to cover that, and with that, either way, we know this is the Word of God, so it's important, but I think Paul was giving us a little extra, you know, highlighting, emphasis, large letters. Okay, so verses 12 and 13, please God over pleasing people. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. So here we have those same people again who have been following Paul around on his missionary journey. So when he preaches freedom in Christ, they're there to tell him, no, you got to add to your belief in Christ, keeping the law, circumcision, and all the things of the law that we are free from having to keep because Jesus fulfilled all of them. Remember, he was the perfect sacrificial lamb. He was inspected by the Sanhedrin. They looked for flaws in him and they couldn't find a blemish. They had to make them up. Remember? And Jesus, remember, they didn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave himself up. He's God. He gave himself up. So we would be here as a church family worshiping him. That's why he did it. Paul taught that we have freedom in Christ. Jesus did all the work, and they attempted to compel them to be circumcised and continue to follow the law of Moses along with belief in Christ, as though there's something we need to do in addition to what Jesus did. Jesus, you did a lot, but there's one thing you didn't do. Just think of how absurd that sounds. He did it all. He did it all. And Paul gives a couple reasons why they did it here, that if you read it quickly, you might miss it. Paul says, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Well, who would Paul be talking about here? Who would persecute followers of the way, which is what they were called back then, born-again believers, if they believed in the freedom of Christ, but they wouldn't persecute them if they still followed the law of Moses? Who would those people be? We know it wouldn't be the Romans. They didn't care about the law of Moses. The only reason they'd care about the law of Moses is because there's another group of people that are going to get all stirred up, and there's going to be an uprising, and now Caesar's not happy because there's an uprising. But they didn't care about people following the law of Moses. It's the legalistic Christians. I say that because they did want to add belief in Christ to the law of Moses. Because if they were just Judaizers, if they were just Israel, if they were just the Jews who didn't believe in Christ, they wouldn't like that whole belief in Christ thing too. But I'm sure they were included as long as they looked good keeping the law of Moses. But obviously, some of these people did believe in Christ. And I believe today we have people who do believe in Christ, but they also believe in a lot of legalism. And we'll get into more about how Paul calls them hypocrites. But it's those people who taught you must believe in Christ and keep the law. This would please the Jews as well, because you look good. You're keeping the law. Remember, Peter was doing this when those men showed up and Paul confronted him to his face. Because Peter was trying to keep the peace. He fell for the lies and the deception. He probably thought, well, this is the peaceful thing to do. This is going to maybe win more people for Christ if I cater to them and I kind of hide the truth a little bit. And thankfully, Paul was there to go, that is not how this works. Let the light of truth shine forth. And we address it when it happens. When people are changing what the gospel says, you do not want to mislead people into thinking they have to do more things than what Christ has done. That's what Peter was doing. He wasn't meaning to do that. He loved those people just as much. But he had a lapse in judgment. He messed up. He was that strong fence that needed a little restoration. And Paul did it. Paul did it. He was willing to do it. Are we willing to do it when we see it happen? That's a big question. Because it's not easy to do. But if we love the truth and we love the Lord and we love those who could be negatively affected by false teaching, we'll do it. And hopefully, the Holy Spirit will stir us up, even if that's not our comfort factor. The Holy Spirit will stir us up and we'll do it in a mild, meek, and loving fashion. You know why that comes up? Because I'm not that. I've told you that before. Okay. So those legalistic Jews, and they were doing that, remember, to avoid persecution. We're teaching this so we avoid persecution. We're going to teach false doctrine to avoid persecution, much like Peter. He's eating with only the Jewish people at that time to keep the peace so he doesn't get persecuted. They look down on him. They come at him. Should we ever do that? Should we ever add or subtract to God's word to avoid being persecuted? Never. Never. And the Holy Spirit will not let us do that without a little bit of counsel, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of nudging. So I would say a large letter, no. All caps. Highlighted, bold. So the same people who have a problem with Jesus or would have a problem with Jesus, they should have a problem with each of us if we're living this life the right way. We should get used to that, knowing that. And then when it happens, I don't know about you, but there are people who have not liked me that didn't know me, but they knew I was a believer. And when the Lord helps me see it that way, I'm more accepting and almost excited about it. Like, oh, it's good. I'm on the right path. That's why they hate me. That's why they can't stand me. The hair on their neck comes up when I walk in the room versus, you know, it's what I'm wearing, how I smell. You know? We must always be aware of our motives in life, why we're doing what we do, because that's going to help navigate things. I think Peter, if he would have brought every thought captive to the Lord, he would have been like, my motives are to protect my own skin. That's why I'm about to do this. And he had a lapse in judgment, and thankfully, like I said, Paul loved him enough to call him out on it. And it doesn't seem like we ever ran into this problem with Peter again. He learned. That's what we all should do. When we help each other out, we should try to go, I don't want to ever mess up the same way again. Always be aware of our motives. Never let others or our flesh, who's not our friend, deceive us into caving to temptations to avoid flesh problems. Sometimes our flesh problems are the things that speak the loudest to unbelieving people. When we handle it with mercy and grace and love and compassion, And we have hope. More on that in a little bit. They should see the hope that we have in Christ. No, we should be walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and not in fear. Do not fear the world. Do not fear other people. Fear God. Only fear God. And that's putting them in a right, proper perspective. And like I've said to you guys before, I think we are lacking the fear of God. People feel so free to add and subtract God's word all the time. And then it's a dangerous thing to see. Man, I don't know how you're going to explain that to the Lord when you stand before him. So Paul then says they not only wanted to avoid persecution, but they also wanted to boast about them as some sort of badges of honor. You know, like Cub Scouts, you get your little badge, like, hey, they're ours, not yours, Paul. Look it, they're one of ours. That's what they wanted. Is that what God's about? Prideful, boasting about themselves, causing division within the church. Paul goes into this. Well, you say I was baptized by Apollo. He's like, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. Because we're supposed to all be under Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We're all just a bunch of vessels, like straws. I mean, I've talked about this before. When you drink something through a straw, you're not ever that thing that tastes so good. You're never like, this straw is awesome. It does its job so well. You just get that good drink, whatever it is. And you're thankful for the drink. That's what we're supposed to be for God. We're just a simple vessel. That's it. Look at what we did. They're following our teaching, not Paul's teaching. So they're trying to save their own skin, and they're trying to be prideful and carry a badge of honor to spite Paul. Their eyes are not on Jesus when they're doing these things. So, like I said, a couple big issues here with their attitude. They're causing division in the body, and we have a lot of this today. You know, little side note, we actually left a church because there was some biblical doctrine that said, basically it said we didn't have the Holy Spirit. Even though they said, well, we know you have the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, I know, but your doctrine says I don't. So I don't see how I can really stay here and keep growing unless you change that. But when we left, there were people who were treating us like we were leaving the faith, like we were going apostate. Well, what is that? That's cult-like, right? When you're like, well, we're the only one. We're the only ones. We are the only ones who have the truth. That's not true. So we got to be careful with that as well. So another thing this creates was pride. Pride in the people who win over these people to their way of thinking and their way of teaching while they've been adding and subtracting to what Paul was teaching. Pride that they are something when they are nothing, and Jesus is everything. And every time we add or subtract to God's word, I believe there's pride creeping in to say that we're something when we're nothing. We should not be adding or subtracting to God's word. We should be very careful to not add and subtract to God's word. There are things that I have preferences of that I should not share with you when I'm standing here because they are not biblical. They are my preferences. And if I ever do that, please tell me. Because I don't want to ever do that. I don't want to ever add or subtract to God's word. We are all bondservants. That's what we're called to be, bondservants. Bondservants. You know how much bondservants own? Nothing. Nothing. How absurd would it be to meet a bondservant and they're talking about all the stuff that they have? And then you're like, but that's your master's stuff. Why no? It looks absurd. Why would we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we act like that? Why do we act like we have something? Why does that sports guy who can run real fast act like he had everything to do with his creation and that he can run that fast? Why doesn't he give the glory to God? Or much like those sports fans who are boasting about something they did. I've had people call me on this back in my old days where I'm like, well, we won. And they're like, oh, you're on the team. Well, no. You're irritating me with that question. You're calling me out. I'm not on that team. That was all in the process of me letting go a little too much. Okay, then Paul mentions their audacity, that these people, these same people who are trying to boast and they're trying to add this legalism and they're trying to cause this division, that they have this audacity that they know that they don't even keep the law that they're telling other people to keep. He says, they teach to keep this law that they themselves don't keep. It's really easy in this world to impress with words, to say a lot of things. It's real easy to sound like you've got it all together when you are scared to death that they're going to see the skeletons in your closet. And the best thing I've found to do is open up the skeletons in the closet and use them to bring people into the kingdom. Share your wounds and your hurts and your mistakes so other people can go, oh, you can be a Christian and still struggle with that stuff? Yes, yes, you can. Because we all are dealing with it. So stop acting like you got it all together when you don't. Be real. Be real. Work on those things that the Lord's working on you, but be real. And again, when you get rid of legalism, you get rid of a whole bunch of stuff that the church looks down on people for. There's this one book, What's So Amazing About Grace, and I think Roy talked about this recently. I can't remember where. But this woman was in prostitution. I think there was something involved with her kid, too. She was way deep into the world and sin and yuck. She came to Christ, but she still had a foul mouth. And the church had a hard time with her foul mouth. And when they were talking to her, well, no, actually, this is before she became a Christian. They said, well, because she needed help. She was in trouble. She needed help. And they go, well, have you gone to the church? And she goes, are you serious? I already feel bad enough about myself. That is not the reputation that the church should have. We should be representing who? Jesus. Jesus sat alone with a woman who had been married to like 5 different guys and was living with a guy that wasn't her husband. If there was a perception issue, this is it. Here's Jesus sitting with this woman at the well at the wrong time of day, talking with her, and he didn't care. He was ministering to her. That's how we should be. That's how we should be. And we've talked about this. There's strong points and weak points we all have, so it might be a tag team thing like, yeah, this is not a good moment for me to be here in this situation. So, hey, tag your brother or sister. You can handle that. I'll pray. Okay, so Paul has been fighting this throughout this letter, this whole idea of circumcision, follow the law, add to things what Christ has done for you, all these things, these audacious people, these false teachers who are just trying to put people back into bondage. Paul's been fighting this. So don't be audacious. That's a big thing that Paul's saying here. Don't be audacious. Don't be that person who puts burdens on other people. This is what the Pharisees did. Put burdens on other people that they themselves can't keep. And I see this a lot. I see Christians who a lot of times they've got their rules and they keep them really well. And then there's other perceptions and ideas they have that they put on people that aren't even in the Bible. But then I see in their walk, they have lapses in judgment as well. But it's not on their list of things they worry about. Well, I don't want to be that hypocrite. That's what that is. That's being a hypocrite. If we all have things we're struggling with, we should all be humble, mild, and meek, and be there for one another. Christ did all the work on the cross. We can do nothing to improve ourselves for salvation's sake. We can please God. We can do the good that he's called us to do beforehand, that he prepared beforehand. We can do those things so he can reward us later. But the things we do are not making us ready for salvation. Belief in Christ is what makes us ready for salvation. That's the justification. It happens as soon as we believe. Believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and we are saved. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Finish the race. Don't turn back. Lot's wife, not a good example. Finish the race. Keep going. Put your hand to the plow. Never look back. Go, go, go. Don't add, don't subtract to the word of God. Keep plowing the field. Keep sowing the seeds. Keep watering. Do whatever it is God can do and always be mild, humble, and meek and love him. Praise the Lord. He never gives up on us, and he even asks us to help each other out when we do mess up. How great is our God? How patient is our God? Verses 14 through 16, boast only in the cross. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. So again, Jesus did it all on the cross. And I would just say, if you get sick of hearing about Jesus and all he did for you, we might have forgotten how depraved we were when we first came to him. So Peter talks about how we got to stir ourselves up, and that's sometimes what we need. It might take a Christian movie. It might take listening to some praise and worship. It might just meet with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever it takes to stir you up to be all about him and let go of the cares of this world, do it. Whatever it takes. Get in your word. Read your word. It's sad that I didn't go there first. But I think I know a lot of us sometimes are like numb to the world, and sometimes we can be numb to the word. We're reading it. Sometimes you need to get stirred up to even do that. But whatever it takes, be in your word and fellowship all the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, and if you are feeling that way, where you're kind of like, I don't know, I'm kind of numb to the Lord, numb to what he's doing, kind of taking this stuff for granted, which we all go through. It's not something to beat yourself up for. You know, this is why you treat your family members, your spouse, the way you do. You take them for granted. They're always there for you. That's why you take them for granted. Because you trust them, you love them, you know them. It doesn't make it right, but I'm just saying, don't beat yourself up. We all go through it, but pray for God to help you. Pray for God to help show you where what's wrong. It may be you've let a little of the world in your life. It may be that you're just worn out. It may be you're going through something. It may be a spiritual attack. There's a lot of things going on. And usually the more you're following the Lord, the more the enemy is coming at you. I've had brothers tell me that. I remember Dale told me that. When I first became an elder, he goes, well, get ready for the attacks. And man, was he right. And I forgot that for a while until I was like, oh yeah, Dale told me that. And it helped me go, that's what's going on here. So it's good to acknowledge that. Because if you resist the devil, he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. Acknowledge it, resist him, and he will flee. So this is our only boast, that Jesus died for us and we are now a part of his eternal kingdom. We are his body and we are his bride. And Paul gets it, and he even says this, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Man, I'm not there yet. I have moments, but I would love to be able to just write that, to get to that point. And I think you see that through his marks. I mean, he was left for dead for Christ. I mean, remember where he came from. He was persecuting the church. And look at where he is now. He didn't care that he's a Roman citizen. Doesn't care that he's a Pharisee, was a Pharisee among Pharisees. Doesn't care about any of that. To live as Christ, to die as gain. Doesn't that fit nice with what Paul's saying here? He said both things. Is that true of us? It's a good question to ask us. And I think if the answer is no, maybe we could ask God to show us how to get there. Lord, help me get there. Help me get there. Like I said, I don't think we have a lot of time. I think as we see the time approaching, we may be answering like, Lord, like Jason, why did you struggle with the world so much still when you saw all this stuff falling into place perfectly? You knew I was coming back. I don't know. I don't know why I did. So Paul then brings up circumcision again. Circumcision, nor circumcision, none of it avails anything. It means nothing. It's all about being a new creation. Circumcision of the heart. God gave us a new heart. He gave us, our spirit became alive. We are now destined for eternity. We are now part of his eternal kingdom. circumcision on the physical body? Who cares? It's dying. It's going away. It's getting replaced. It's going to burn up. The flesh fights you because it doesn't take part in the eternal kingdom. The flesh has no part in it. It wants to drag you down to where it is. It has no promises in the eternal kingdom. It's all going to burn up. You're going to get a new body. At the rapture, you're going to get a new body. Not this body, not this tent, not this flesh, not this dead man walking. Peace and mercy are with those who walk according to the Spirit, those who understand they are free in Christ, those who truly understand they don't have the weight of all this legalism or the weight of this world, the weight of sin and bondage. They are free in Christ. Their biggest thing is all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. I want to do what's beneficial for me as I am an ambassador of Christ. But then Paul mentions something in here, and I think it needs to be addressed. And upon the Israel of God, what does he mean here? He's talking about, basically, we talked about this too, with Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We believe the same way. When we believe God, is it an account, believe in Jesus Christ that he was sent for us, he died for our sins, we are now justified. We have Christ's righteousness. When the Father sees us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. It does not revoke the promises elsewhere in the Bible to the people and nation of Israel, which is what many try to take these verses to say. There are still the 12 tribes, the future promises, and in our day, especially now, we must continue to remind of these things because there is a spiritual attack against the nation and people of Israel. Israel is not blessed because they are good. They're about to have a giant pride event right at the Dead Sea shores. That's not why God is doing that. He's not keeping his promises because they are good. He's keeping his promises because he is good. And he keeps his promises. 1/3 will be saved. 144,000 will be sealed. 12,000 from each tribe. Two witnesses will come out of them and will preach the gospel, the good news, and the world will hate it so much that they are going to celebrate when they are dead. And the whole world, maybe through Starlink, can see their bodies laying there. And they're going to give each other gifts. They're so happy they're dead. That is going to happen. Not because Israel's good, but because God is good. Always remember that when you get these attacks. Well, you know how bad Israel is. You know what Israel is. Yeah, I do. They're very secular. Yep, I know. But why do you believe that? Because God said he's going to do it. That's why. Because God is good all the time. And remember, there are messianic Jews who believe in Christ, who are the exception to the rule of the veil that remains over the Jews today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verses 17 and 18, keep your eyes upon Jesus. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So there may be others in the world who have lived in the church age that have more marks than Paul, other than Jesus, of course. But I couldn't think of anybody. You know, I had a couple that came to mind, Richard Wurmbrand, who wrote Tortured for Christ, and Fox Book of Martyrs talks about Polycarp and some of these other men who stood for the faith, men and women who stood for the faith. But either way, here's Paul, left for dead, all these marks in his body, and he's basically like, let these people who are avoiding persecution trouble me no more. And I don't think it's like a prideful, conceited thing. I think it's more, I'm not going to let them change my focus, which is on Christ. That's what he's saying. I'm not going to bother with these people anymore. Because where the rubber meets the road, I have obeyed the Lord. They have not. They've protected their own skin. These martyrs, they prove their faith in Christ through their suffering. Let none of these people who avoided persecution through pleasing men trouble those who have not compromised. So it's interesting, too, because remember, Paul was persecuting the church, but here now Paul has the marks of Christ, and he received them because of following Christ. It's like Paul got closer to Christ as he shared in the sufferings of Christ. And through his letters, he's almost harder on himself. I'm the chief of all sinners. I'm the lowest of the apostles. The closer he got, the more depraved he knew he was on his own. As he was probably walking closer and more like Christ, he saw more and more how dirty he actually was. That's awesome. That's bondservant thoughts. That's spirit life right there. Instead of getting conceited as you become more of a leader in his church and his body, you are becoming more humble and more like a bondservant and more approachable to lost people. Not unapproachable, not conceited. Not like the world's leadership works. It works the other way. Brothers and sisters, brethren, those who have listened and trusted God and agree with Paul's letter, Holy Spirit inspired, reject false teachers who have been trying to bewitch them. Adding to the law of Christ, we are walking in the Spirit. We are resisting those people. We are fighting against them. We are the restraining force in this world today, and we are restraining against false teachers. Adding and subtracting to the Word of God, we are restraining against a Laodicean church movement that is lying to the world of who Christ really is and what the one way truly is. That's what we're doing when we're fighting against these things. And we got to keep fighting for our freedom, the temporal one and the eternal one. Those brothers and sisters, us brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirit. Amen. Paul inculcated throughout Galatians, throughout this letter, and hopefully they got it, and hopefully we got it. We can be encouraged to keep our eyes upon Jesus, going out in the freedom of Christ, walking in the Spirit, looking for opportunities to serve our Lord and his church, serving him and telling all the people we come across, the good news. And it's good news for all is all, not just the select or the elect, but all. Remember, it's God's will that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And all means all. Okay, some final thoughts. Paul's large letters were mostly likely emphasizing, highlighting how we should live and walk as the church, not being conceited, provoking one another, but sharing in each other's burdens, gently restoring one another when we fail. Gently. Sharing in all good things with our faithful teachers, doing good to all, especially those of the household of faith. These are basic tenets of being the church, his body, and his bride. We together are going to present ourselves to the Lord together. We should want to help each other with our blemishes. We should help us all be ready. You can't do it on your own. You're not going to stand there and go, I'm not part of that bride. Look at me, Lord. We do it together. So we should be there together. And when something's lacking, we are there to help. We're a family. It's pretty simple to understand, but it's much harder to obey. It's really hard to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Really hard to do. It's easy to say it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. God bless you. Be at peace. To do it, we have to crucify the desires of the flesh annually. No? Daily, yes. I loved hearing the little rumble. Like, well, I don't think that's right. Don't ever compromise the word of God. Don't add or subtract. If you're persecuted for it, God says, Jesus says, blessed are you. We get that backwards. I remember one time, I can't remember where I heard this story, but it was a true story. And the American church was praying for these missionaries, and these missionaries who were being persecuted are like, oh, well, thank you. But man, we pray for you guys all the time. Because we're being persecuted. Blessed are we. We're being persecuted. You guys are really comfortable. I was like, man, what a great perspective to have. Flip that thing around. Biblically flipping it around on us, right? Don't fall for the enemy's lies that compromising will eventually help others in the faith. This is a big thing I think we can fall for. And this goes along with what Peter was doing, and Paul, you know, called him out on it. But I think we can do it too. Like, I think if I just blend in with them a little bit and turn the dimmer switch down, the light of truth in me, turn it down a little, it's going to benefit people more. That's a lie. That is a lie. All you're doing is patting their backs on their way to hell. Don't do it. Again, you don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be mean and abrasive and angry. You can lovingly tell someone, man, I know what you're saying, but the word of God says this. God says this. God loves those people more than you do. So who are we to change what he says? That's how we should do this. Gently. I'm ministering to myself here, guys, because this is not natural for me. I'm more, let's just cut through it and let me just say it. And when we do that, another thing that happens, when we cater to that, when we dim our switch a little, let that light kind of dim that light, there may be other Christians watching us and they're getting a real bad example. We don't want to be that either. Don't be prideful. Don't cause division in the church. We are nothing. Jesus is everything. Let him work on others in those matters that are not clearly defined in scriptures, but don't align with your take or your understanding. So I have certain preferences, certain things that I think are important, but I can't go to the scriptures and tell you that it's got to be this way. So maybe I should just pray for you in those areas. Instead of telling you what you got to do to please Jason. Don't please Jason. Please don't please Jason. If you don't, you'll be pleasing me. Sorry, I'm... Boast in the cross of Christ. That's it. That's the only thing we should be boasting about. And as we do, consider yourself dead to the world's enticements. Like Paul. He considered himself dead to the world. It's all about the new creation, being born again, circumcision, the law, the Moses. It's all fulfilled in belief in Jesus Christ. Because again, he fulfilled it all. Believe in him, and that's all it took. Believe in Christ. Then walk in the Spirit. Look like Jesus. Be an ambassador of Christ. Don't go out and live for the world while you're believing in Jesus. That's hypocritical. Contradicting, it's ridiculous. Don't do it. Be who you are. A Lions fan doesn't wear Chicago Bears stuff. Bring the sports fandom back in. Or imagine a Michigan fan wearing Ohio State stuff. I mean, for you Michigan fans, that's what that'd be like. So they should be walking out of here like, I am not doing that again. If we walk according to the Spirit and his truth, the grace and mercy will be upon all of us who have believed in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Believe God as Abraham did, and it was accounted to us, or him, for righteousness' sake. Jesus is the only way. Make sure we're saying that, because not all churches are saying that. He died for our sins, and he rose again. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. Those who endure to the end will be saved. quick little plug before I read the final blurb I have here, or spiel, as Mark called it. The reason we did the shirts was so we could proclaim a Bible-believing church that lost people who sit in the grocery store line can know where to go. We're not saying we're the only way, but we have found that there's churches that we're teaching the truth that maybe aren't teaching the truth anymore, and we don't want to put them on our shirts. So all we can control is what we do here. So that was the idea behind the shirts, to proclaim it, to put it out there and let people know, oh, you go to Calvary Chapel? And hopefully you're proud to wear it, or not proud. You're happy to, hopefully you're happy to wear that shirt because your walk looks more like Jesus. Because my son-in-law, Sam, he had a really good saying in one of the men's groups that, you know how when we are hypocritical and we aren't walking the right way, it's like us saying, I'm going to play Beethoven for someone for the first time, and that person's like, man, Beethoven's horrible. But that's what it's like when we aren't walking with Christ. We want to, if we're wearing that shirt, if we have the Jesus thing on our car, we'd probably be driving like you think Jesus would be driving. And I see that Jesus fish, and I don't think that's how Jesus drives a lot of times. Okay, so here's my final spiel, Mark. Live for the Lord. Let those who hate him hate you, but love them. Tell them the truth. Not casting pearls to swine, but when you have the opportunity, share the gospel. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. But you can only prepare them for giving a reason for the hope that you have if they see a hope in you. If you're walking around like the rest of the world, can you imagine you're moping, you're grumbling, you're complaining, and then you go to your coworker and you're like, you want me to explain to you the hope that I have? What hope are you talking about? You want to make sure they see that hope in you, but pray for them. And if you bear the marks in your body of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul did, like Polycarp did, like Richard Wurmbrand did, blessed are you in the kingdom. Be faithful, even in persecution. Jesus is with you. Those who remain faithful to the end, those who finish this race, will be saved. We will be with the Lord for eternity. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine. That's why I love that song. We can't even imagine. Can you imagine some good stuff? I can. I used to use Disney World as an example. I don't use that anymore. But I used to think of some really cool stuff, and I'm like, man, it's better than that. And here's a question, here's a little help for you when people are like, are there animals in heaven? Or they give you these tough questions you don't have. Listen, I don't know, but I know what's going to be in heaven is way better than I can imagine. So God's got this taken care of. I have a feeling someone's going to come talk to me about the animals in heaven thing. Feel free. I'm not sure how it works. I know there's animals in heaven because they're described. Okay, so anyway, we can only imagine, and that's because of that, we should only boast in the cross of Christ until he calls us home. That's where we're headed. That's our destiny. That's our eternity. You guys ever wake up in the morning and just go, man, I'm going to heaven? I remember when I couldn't say that. I remember when I didn't know what was going to happen. I love saying that. I'll just be driving, maybe having a miserable day. I'm going to heaven. I can't believe it. Not because of me, because of him. Because of him. He died on that cross. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirits. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Lord, again, we pray that this weather is good so we can fellowship and celebrate you and those who have fallen, those who gave us this opportunity to have families and grandkids and barbecues and fellowship and free to serve you and free to spread the good news and the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations, Lord. Help us to take that seriously. And like we said earlier, Lord, may our prayers be richer. Maybe the burgers taste juicier. May the time with our kids be more fruitful and more wonderful. May our kids not take for granted the freedoms that have been provided them, Lord. Help them to be obedient to you and trust in you, Lord. Let us not fall for the Ponzi scheme of the devil, Lord, and fall for this world and in wasting our investments in this world, Lord. We love you. You are everything. You are all things. You are all good things, Lord, and we are nothing. And Lord, help us to be about your business, to be bondservants, to be approachable, to be humble, mild, and meek. And when people hate us, Lord, we love them all the more back like you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen.